Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Hans Bader is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's counselor for special projects at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. This is an organization that you know very well. You're very familiar with them. Fred Smith, the leader over there, has been on the show many times, as has our good friend Wayne Cruz. And I believe this is Hans' first trip to the show. And we're talking about a lawsuit that they recently filed regarding some you'll be interested to see who they actually sued. Hans, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. And you're following a long line of distinguished CEI scholars, Hans. So you've got some big shoes to fill here with Fred and Wayne. Hans, your organization, you and your organization, and along with another organization, as I remember, filed a lawsuit recently. Tell us about that.
We're challenging a part of the Sarbanes-Oxley law that was passed back in 2002 in Congress's frenzied reaction to the Enron and WorldCom bankruptcies.
Yep.
Who did you sue? Sorry? We're suing this thing created by the Sarbanes-Oxley law called the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board, known as Peekaboo. And Congress set up the Peekaboo with pretty much broad, unchecked power to regulate the auditing firms.
Isn't that a female skier, Hans? What's a Peekaboo? A female skier, downhill skier.
Well, I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, they're actually, I've forgotten her last name, but her first name was Peekaboo. It really was. And I had a CPA on the show talking about the Sarbanes-Oxley, the 404 compliance and all that, and he used the word Peekaboo, and I said, you know, I never thought I'd hear an accountant use the word Peekaboo, you know, in the course of his professional conversation. You'd think that they would have gotten that acronym and said, you know what, we need to change the name. This isn't going to fly.
Oh, they hate it. I mean, that's what they're called by legal scholars and accountants behind their back, but you would never call them the Peekaboo to their face. You're supposed to call them the PCAOB.
Right.
It doesn't roll off the tongue very well.
No, it doesn't. Peekaboo just does, but it doesn't promote respect either, does it?
No, but you dare not use it to their faces because they have the power to fine an accounting firm $2 million for a single inadvertent violation of their rules and red tape. They can fine an accountant $100,000 for a single inadvertent violation of their rules and regulations.
And so if he said Peekaboo, they couldn't fine him for that, but they'd go after him or her they'd try to find something else on them.
Well, you have no way of knowing whether that was the reason why they fined you $100,000 rather than $5,000 or rather than giving you a slap on the wrist.
Right.
I mean, Congress set up this board to regulate the accounting industry. And instead of focusing on fraud of the old-fashioned variety that might actually lead to a bankruptcy or rip off shareholders, they instead focused on mind-numbing, bureaucratic trivia like who can have access to which computer password. And they got that power under the internal controls section of Sarbanes-Oxley. Sarbanes-Oxley has a lot of provisions, and one of the smallest and most innocuous-looking of the provisions said that companies have to report on the auditors have to report on the internal controls of companies. And the Peekaboo interpreted this as requiring a full-blown audit and comprehensive report attesting to the strength of a company's internal controls.
Mm-hmm.
And it took this one little tiny provision of the statute that Congress wrote. It has a couple sentences in it, and they created hundreds of pages of red tape in terms of rules and regulations just for that one section of the statute. And that interpretation alone cost the American economy $35 billion. Not $35 million, $35 billion.
Folks, in case you've forgotten what happened, no more than a dozen firms, publicly traded firms, were part of this corporate malfeasance situation. There was Enron, Global Crossing, Adelphia, Quest, WorldCom, et cetera, et cetera. And Hans, if there were 12, there are 15,000 publicly traded companies.
Right.
That's 0.8 of a percent of all publicly traded companies were the offenders. For the government to take this kind of now they were big offenses, no question about it, and they blew the records right out of the books because of on the scale that they were on, and clearly accounting firms dropped the ball and maybe even were in some places complicit in all of this. There's no question about that, is there, Hans?
Well, they certainly were negligent. I mean, they gave WorldCom and Enron clean bills of health, unqualified clean
right.
audits, just months before they went bankrupt.
Which basically at that moment they were basically just a vaporous. I mean, they were a house of cards.
Right, but I mean, the problem is Congress didn't adopt clear rules or focus the SEC or other regulators on concrete fraud. Instead, they gave this broad grant of authority to this unelected, unaccountable board known as the Peekaboo. And the board, its members aren't picked by the president and then confirmed by the Senate, so that
right.
people have oversight over them and can weed out bad appointees and make sure that they will do what's right rather than doing what pleases the regulated industry, in this case the big accounting firms. Because the irony is, once they set up this board, it issued a whole bunch of red tape that pleased the big accounting firms by giving them more work to do, by giving
mm-hmm.
them power over things like companies'
right.
Access to internal passwords and internal controls. And so the big accounting firms that failed to catch Enron and WorldCom are now making more money than they ever did before at the expense of America's businesses.
Well, let me ask you a question. Was there anything that was done in that whole era that there wasn't already a law that these people violated? I mean, wasn't there already laws on the books that would have taken care of what happened?
There were laws in the books that would have taken care of a lot of the simple out-and-out fraud and concealment. Some of the practices that they engaged in were ones that clever accountants helped them engage in, like some of these off-balance partnerships were ones that Enron designed with the assistance of some of the fanciest accountants who came from the FASB, the standards body
mm-hmm.
for the accounting industry. And they just show that if you're really determined to hoodwink your shareholders, in many cases you can do it no matter how many
and
rules
it doesn't matter
and regulations
how,
there are.
That's what I said. I said, you know, you can have 10 Sarbanes-Oxleys, and that will not prevent dishonest people from doing dishonest things. Stand by, Hans. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, this is what the big issue is, the 404 compliance. That's what's hurting small businesses. And we come back, I'm going to get Hans to talk to us about how this 404 compliance is hurting the ability of small businesses, especially those emerging small businesses, to raise capital. Stay with us. 20 after. We'll be right back with Hans Bader. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. It's 7 until the half hour. I was almost right. 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend Hans Bader with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Thank you for all of you who've been using it to your little heart's content. It's all free. Please take advantage of it. It's there for you. Lots of stuff, lots of good stuff, including a newsletter that you can subscribe to for free and a blog that you can subscribe to for free. And my books are there as well, and we don't mind if you buy one. Hans, tell us a little bit about CEI and how we can find you guys online.
Well, we're at www.cei.org. So we're just at cei.org, and we've got a website there, and it describes what we're doing, including the lawsuit that we just filed against the Peekaboo, because we may not be able to kill off all of Sarbanes-Oxley, but the rules that the Peekaboo has adopted that make Sarbanes-Oxley's Section 404 so much worse, those we may be able to kill off by challenging the validity of the appointment of the Peekaboo's members.
You're actually saying that it's unconstitutional, aren't you?
Right. We're saying that since the board was appointed in a way that violates the Constitution's Appointments Clause, all of their actions, since being appointed, are invalid and should be nullified.
Wow.
And the reason that they're...
That's pretty sweeping, Hans.
Yeah, but the Supreme Court has said that if you win a lawsuit under the Appointments Clause and you are disciplined by some bureaucratic agency, you can overturn that discipline.
Wow.
Based on the fact that the people on that agency were wrongly appointed. And in this case, the Peekaboo's members were wrongly appointed. They got a heck of a lot of power. They're paid better than the president. Their chairman gets like $550,000 a year, and the other members get nearly $500,000.
So I don't want to be president. I want to be the chairman of the Peekaboo.
Oh, they have much better compensation, and they have a heck of a lot of power. I mean, Phil Graham, who voted for the law reluctantly, he said, you know, this board is going to have massive unchecked power.
Yeah, yeah.
And they do. They have. They've caused $35 billion worth of damage to the economy every year just through their rules interpreting one section of Sarbanes-Oxley, the internal control section.
I talked to a on my show. I had a guy on my show several months ago who has a company, a New York listed, New York Stock Exchange listed company, and they've been public for about, I'm going to say about 7 or 8 years. And I asked him, if you were going public, if you were trying to go public today, because it's not a big cap company, it's a fairly small cap company, but I said, if you were trying to go public today, which you needed to do to raise the capital that you needed to grow your business, would you be able to do it, and would you want to do it? He said, well, I probably could do it, but I probably wouldn't, because Sarbanes-Oxley would make it virtually prohibitive.
It's crazy. I mean, like Max and Irma's restaurants, they had to spend half their net income on auditors after Sarbanes-Oxley and the set up the Peekaboo, just to comply with Sarbanes-Oxley's internal controls and
provisions. These are the new requirements. This isn't something that was part of the old laws. This is all new stuff, all new regulations. And I also have interviewed two people on this show, Hans, a bank and a furniture manufacturer, who have gone private since Sarbanes-Oxley because they just couldn't justify the expense.
Oh, absolutely.
They had to go from public to private.
And the worst thing about this board is that not only is it smothering small businesses by making them pay millions and millions of dollars to audit just a small firm, but this board is totally unaccountable to our elected officials. It sets its own budget. They set their own salaries. They're not accountable to Congress. They're not accountable to the president. They're not picked by the president. They're not confirmed by Congress. They're picked collectively by the members of the Securities and Exchange Commission, and they can only be removed for serious wrongdoing. And you're never going to get all five SEC commissioners to find that one of these peekaboo board members has engaged in serious wrongdoing. That's almost impossible.
Well,
so they're not accountable to anybody.
Some people listening, Hans, might say, well, you know, I'm a small business. I'm probably never going to go public, so why do I care about that? Well, the cost of audits, the cost of getting the accounting and the financial auditing of your business, which one day, even if you don't go public, one day if you grow enough, you're going to have to provide audited financial statements to your bank to get the kind of credit that you're going to want to have. That's costing more money now than it did before because of Sarbanes-Oxley.
Oh, absolutely, because its standards are going to slowly spread. You know,
it's not slowly. Hans, I disagree with you. It's not happening slowly. It happened pretty fast already.
Right. I mean, it's metastasizing from public companies to private companies, because once the Peekaboo sets a standard, it has a lot of prestige given its power. And then other bodies like the FASB will start adopting piecemeal its, you know, new red tape and regulations for what constitutes a good audit. So even if you go private, you're not going to be able to fully escape these new mandates, because they sort of set the professional standard, even though they require hopelessly more auditing than you really need, and layers and layers and layers of documentation of the value of an asset that you really don't need.
What are the chances, Hans, of your what are your chances of success? Tell us what the chronology is. I got about a minute, and what are the chances?
Well, I think that a court will find that the Appointments Clause of the Constitution was violated based on the way they were appointed, but I'm not sure exactly how the court what they'll do is a remedy. I think they'll overturn existing disciplinary actions, but I'm not sure whether they'll kill off all the rules and regulations of the Peekaboo, and I'm not sure whether Congress can't step in and, you know, try and fix things after the fact to reduce the reach of our court.
In my opinion, Congress needs to spend more time fixing Peekaboo than they do fixing the Patriot Act. They need to leave the Patriot Act alone and work on Peekaboo. It's doing more damage.
Right. They need to focus on the thing that's causing the more economic harm.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Hans, thank you for being here. Give us CEI website again, please.
Yes, it's www.cei.org.
When do you go to court next, quickly?
Well, we filed our complaint. I think that the Peekaboo will file its motion to dismiss in about a month. And I think that the judge will rule on that motion within a couple months.
And we're going to get you back on the show probably by the summer to give us a report on how things are going.
Great. I look forward to that.
Thanks, Hans. Good job today. See you next time. Quick break. Right back with Judge William Huss after these messages. 29 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.